Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. Touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America Podcast 10 Questions with Chris Haldeman, driver of the what number are you?
69.
Excellent number, by the way. Honda Civic Si in the TCA class. So here we go, Chris. Thanks for joining me. What was the first car you ever owned?
First car I ever owned was a 1977 Chevy Monza.
Chevy Monza. What engine did that baby have in it?
Well, it had a ridiculous four-cylinder in when it arrived, and when it died, it had a nice built LT1 solid roller built-up V8.
So did you build this on your own, or did you do it with your family, or what's the story there?
So that was a father-son project. That car was purchased to be my first car. I was about 14 years old, and, you know, we spent time going to the junkyard, finding, like, door panels, you know, just trying to get what we could.
Yeah.
I spent time dyeing the carpets and just trying to recondition it, you know.
It was your baby, basically.
Well, it was my toy, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Question two is, what did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid? What did you want to be?
A race car driver.
You did, for sure. Yeah, so no firemen, no policemen. You want to be a race car driver.
For sure.
Okay. Question number three. Are you the only child? You have brothers and sisters. How many people are in your family?
I am an only child.
Okay.
I'm not only an only child, I'm an only grandson. I got a lot of attention when I was younger.
That explains a lot. Thank you. Question number four. When you go to a restaurant, what's your go-to food that you order?
Ribeye.
Yeah, steak. Just go for the ribeye. Medium rare. Still mooing.
Yep.
Still mooing. Okay. Question number five. What do you wish you knew when you started racing that you know now? If you could only see his face right now, it's contorting in many different directions. So I think there's a lot that he's mulling over.
Well, I thought this was supposed to be a positive interview. you know, if I could go all the way back to the beginning.
Sure.
All the way back to the beginning, I would have worked a little harder in the start.
Okay. So you had some natural gifts maybe, and I gotcha. Okay. All right. Number six is, what's something that you failed at? Just one random thing.
I failed to become a millionaire.
Okay, there you go. Question number seven. If you could choose walk-up music like in baseball, right? The baseball players walk up to home plate and they have theme music for them. If we had that here, what would you pick? What would be your theme music, your walk-up music?
Probably Metallica, Fade to Black.
Fade to Black, Metallica, okay. Question number eight. What do you do on a normal non-race weekend?
Are there any of those?
Maybe not.
I have a 29-week schedule,
yep.
So I don't get very many of those. I work 7 days a week. I'm in the shop 7 days a week.
And I can verify that. I have seen him work. Number nine, what's your favorite book?
Most compelling book, favorite book to me is Keith Coates' Twist of the Wrist.
Okay. Question number 10. When you're alone in your car, are you singing along with the music?
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Are you so really animated, top of the lungs?
Oh, no. I don't do the ghetto arm swinging.
No ghetto arm swing.
Ghetto arm swing.
Okay. All right, well, so thanks for participating with the TC America Podcast 10 Questions. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back to the Touring Car America Podcast with Joe Jordan.
And we're back to the TCR podcast, where I'm talking with the series manager for touring car for TC America and SRO Motorsports,
Jim Jordan. Jim, it's great to have you back. Looking forward to hearing your Inside the Series talk this week. How's it going?
It's going good. Spending my time just getting ready for the next few events. And as part of the SRO, we have our big kind of worldwide gathering of all the various arms of the SRO coming up at the body in July. So working just to fill in everybody in the SRO, how the trunk car stuff is going in the U.S., and again, getting ready for Portland, and then finish out the season strong with watching Slam Road America in Las Vegas.
Well, and Portland's got some really good deals out there. I think that the lowest price ticket is like $10 or something like that. So you can click on the notes from the website. I'll have links to where you can buy tickets, but tickets are very affordable. Camping is very affordable. So come make a weekend with us at Portland coming up in July.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of racing going on. It's an event that we run in conjunction with the Rose Cup. The Rose Cup is a long traditional Portland racing weekend out of PIR. So we have several local Rose Cup groups. So that's Tech Miata, some vintage cars. So there's, if you love racing, love sports car racing, Portland's going to be a great place to be. And you're right, the ticket pricing is very aggressive. So if you've always wanted to see one of these and you're in Pacific Northwest, great weekend to come out.
Yeah, it's really, and like I said, the deals are incredible. I haven't seen deals like this in a long time. So come enjoy the weekend. It'll be a three-ring circus with the all the stuff that's going on there with vintage, with Spec Miata, with all that, the GT4 class and SRO, the touring car classes. It should be a lot of fun. So, you know, that track, it's a little bit one-lined, as they say in motocross, but there are some places you can pass, so it leads to very close racing. And it was also the hottest race of the year last year. So it'll be interesting to see if it's that way again.
We're obviously hoping for more usual Portland temperature. I would say it's probably 10, 15 degrees above what they usually get at that time of the year. So we're hoping if temperature's down a little bit, we'll keep the hot racing action going, but hopefully not so hot on the fans.
And for those of you that are listening that are from around the country, it's actually in a park called Delta Square Park, just north of the city, very close to the Washington border, but it's a city-owned property, which creates some challenges. But it's also nice because you have the Metrolink or whatever the train station is right there, so you can actually take the train to the track if you want. And, you know, it's an interesting place because it is a park. So come
on
and see
us.
Yeah,
it's very urban. I mean, you're right. The city of downtown Portland is quickly accessible by their light rail system. The station is right across the street from the main entrance to the track. And it's right against Interstate 5. So it's really interesting, but a great place for racing. A lot of tradition there. It had more traditional sports car and IndyCar racing at PIR, but the only place traditionally in the Pacific Northwest has had big-time racing, and that's just a reason I'm glad we're back.
And I'm glad we're back mainly because I can tease you about catching the track on fire, which you did one time in your Mazda RX-3 in the olden days. But yes, Jim caught the track on fire. That's how hard he raced.
Yeah, it was the grass. There was a grass fire underneath my car. That was kind of one of the traditions of the old rotary race cars going off at Portland. Portland was never, at least early on, never my best track personally. I was always reasonably quick there, but had my worst wreck in my career there. Like you said, caught the racetrack on fire. So later on, it got a little bit better. Had some great racing there in my history, but again, I just like the atmosphere there. It's definitely got a neat vibe.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it too. The town's pretty interesting, pretty different, you know, pretty weird. You know, the whole thing, the Keep It Weird Portland, which is kind of fun to see. And anyway, what's going on with Touring Car leading up to that? You got any new stuff happening in the series or any interesting things going on?
Yeah, Well, I would say the biggest thing that we've been working on is all looking more towards 2020. The series like to announce schedules at Spa. We won't be quite ready with our GT class schedule. However, we will know what the GT3 schedule is, and obviously the turn cars will be tied together with GT3 and a good percentage of the races. I'm also just looking hard. We actually, right this 32nd, have more races available to us than we do weekends we feel like running. So that's always kind of the interesting. It's fun. It's frustrating. It's a challenge. But to make sure we have the best possible weekend for our teams, for our fans, for the employees of Astro America, just to try to make it the best possible schedule. So doing a lot with that. The other thing is just we thought we'd see the debut of a new car at Portland, but that's going to be postponed. But I think over the next few races, we're going to see more and more cars debuted and running a couple of races to allow the series to get a really strong performance of them, so we know about where they stand performance-wise. So it's kind of a sneak preview of the 2020 season, and again, I'm expecting at least two new cars in TC, one new car in TPA for sure. So we're coming to that time of year where Portland, I would say, is the last race of kind of getting your 2019 season squared away, and this is where you see if you're in the championship fight, you keep fighting, or you start working on 2020 plans. So I think we're going to see a little bit both of that after Portland. Portland's still too early in the season, though, for you to, really say where you're going to finish. So I'm not aware of any new cars. We may see one new team with a global MX-5. I just got an email this morning that great news, Stephen Ju will be back. He got his medical sign-off, so that's great. So he'll be in Portland in his Honda Civic Si GTA car. So I think we'll have big fields across the way. I'm sort of thinking we'll have somewhere between 34 and 35 cars total in the GT field. We will have one session for the first time this year, one practice session where we're going to put all the GT cars together. We're going to see some more of that later in the season, but for Portland, with all the racing going on, we made some schedule adjustments. Just got approved yesterday, so the second practice session on Friday, we're going to have TCR, TC, TCA all on the track at the same time. So,
well, and the teams the teams have done that before in testing, so that shouldn't be too abnormal for them. But yes. You got to do some things schedule-wise to make sure that, you can pull off the weekend.
Yeah, and what we were trying to do is, again, make sure that there's enough time between sessions that the drivers can meet with their coaches, the engineers can make changes they need to do to make cars faster. So it's going to be it's kind of a compressed schedule for the TC guys on Friday. So if you're a big TC fan and you're in the Portland area, make sure to call in sick on Friday because we'll have two practice sessions and then qualifying Friday afternoon. So we have a little bit compressed. And then we just have one race for each class on Saturday and Sunday, so a total of four GT races altogether. But that's kind of it. Just spend some time working with teams also on getting through the season and 2020 plans. And again, we had some challenges leaving Sonoma just with some damaged cars. And it looks like of all the cars that we were worried about, I think we're going to lose kind of a sad case, the hard BMW. They haven't been able to get the car back together. They're still planning on finishing the season with us. But it was a new team coming out of NASA. And they had a couple of good runs at Sonoma, but unfortunately had an accident where they rolled the car. So they just too much damage, I think, to repair. But that's really the only car I think we've lost. So Looks like Paul Terry will be back, so that's good news that he's made the technical modification to better suit Paul's driving style. We made some tech changes to that car, so they finally got those done. So should be good fields everywhere and good competition. And again, I'm looking forward to a great time at Portland.
Yeah, I am too. And again, all the races will be live on Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 383. So you can listen to my horrible voice there. You'll probably catch some with Jim as well. We're going to do the touring car tailgate, which is like the pregame show for all the touring cars. So I'm very excited that qualifying's on Friday, so we can really do a good job of that pregame show. And I don't know if you caught any of the Nürburgring. You know, they had the WTCR race there. There's some wild racing, and I had no idea that the European TCR guys knew how to side draft like they do in NASCAR. But it's making the rounds on the internet now. So if you wanted to look at something, check out the WTCR Nürburgring short clip video of two cars side drafting down a long straightaway at the ring. They're going as fast as they can go. One guy would go by, the other one would side draft, pull him back, the other one would get ahead. But as you know, Jim, when you side draft, it pulls you in a little bit. So they were touching wheels at full tilt. It was really incredible to see. I've been around racing a long time, as most people know. And I was like, holy, whoa, that is amazing what just happened there. So if you get a chance, check that out. But Jim, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Joe. I should say that's one of the fun things about the TCR classes, the TC classes in general, because they have enough aero to be interesting, but not so much aero that they can't run close together without really upsetting the car. You do get really fun stuff like that going on, and that's just one of the things I love about touring car racing in general. They can run close, and they do, they're not so aero dependent that getting air off the car or something like that is going to screw up cornering and lots of passing going on.
Especially in TC especially in TC and TCA, there's far less downforce than TCR. And that's what you and I have always loved touring cars, because it is door handle, wheel to wheel, banging, rubbing, all those kind of things that make close racing just so exciting. So, come out and see it at Portland. See us the rest of the year. We still got 4 weekends to go. Really looking forward to it. And Jim, I appreciate your time again on giving us some insight inside the series. Anything else that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think that covers it. Again, we'll be having more and more announcements now that we're getting to that time of the year, and we'll be able to talk about some of the other new cars that will be coming out starting the Watkins Glen.
I think the schedule, rumors that I've been hearing could be really interesting. So I'm excited to hear that stuff come out and some discussion. So I know you're going to be talking to some of the teams and getting their input and stuff like that. But could be some really cool stuff coming down the road for Touring Car America.
Yeah, it's fun that the tracking and promoters have noticed what a great deal we are. So promoters wanting to have us on schedule, of course, our loyalty is also to our SRO weekends are starting to build, similar to what we did at Sonoma and Coda, where we're starting to get more and more spectators out, starting to get the spectators more fun things going on around the races, and so it's finding that right balance.
So, yeah, all right. Thanks again, Jim, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Joe.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is a TC America podcast, and I'm talking with Mason Filippi, the driver of car number 12, the Copeland Motorsports Hyundai Veloster N. Thanks for joining me, Mason. It's been fun to watch you tear it up on the track this year in that Hyundai.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been awesome racing in TC America. I love it there. It's an awesome paddock. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Want to talk about you. We want to know more about you. This whole podcast I'm doing is trying to let people know the touring car drivers. So sometimes SRO can get very GT3 centric because that's their baby. That's what they started with. So I want to make sure the stories of the people in the touring car paddock, get known. So I've known you for a while, pretty much since you started racing cars, but I'd like to let the people know more about you. So I know that you liked motorcycles as a kid, and that was kind of your first love, and kind of tell us about that.
Yeah, when I was younger, my dad and, my dad's brothers, and they all rode motocross, and, so when I was really young, I jumped on a bicycle, and then I jumped on my first dirt bike when I was about 3.5, and then 4 years old, I was ripping around, and I remember one time, my dad's always been my number one support. I'd always go to the dirt bike track with him, and then the first time we brought my mom out, I remember hitting the fence right in front of her, and we were like, but I know, like, oh no. Of course, we did the same thing, and if anyone knows my mom, she loves me so much, and so she was like, oh no, what's happening? But yeah, so, we went back out the next week, and I got right back on the bike, everything was fine, but my best friend is the same exact on the other side of the fence the next weekend with his mom out there. So then we were like, oh, I'm going to watch out bringing the moms. But, it's always been awesome. So I grew up riding dirt bikes, and I grew up riding dirt bikes with my dad, and we did tracks, and we did trails, and we go ride the back roads up in the Sierras. And, it's always been awesome. It's been a thing that we've loved to do motorsports together since I was super young.
That's really cool. Yeah, I've met your mom. I know your mom a little bit, and I've had to reassure her a few times about things that were going on at the track. So I can see how she'd be a bit worried watching her precious oldest child crash into a fence. That's got to be a little disturbing for her. I think at when we were up at Sonoma, when you were racing and you're leading, we're on the PA system and we're talking about you leading, and I think Gino made a little bit of a discussion about something breaking, and I think he said your name, and I'm like, oh no, Mason's mom's having a heart attack right now. It wasn't Mason, he's fine, don't worry. So your mom's great, and your parents are both really fun and very involved, and that's really cool. So you were racing motorcycles, hitting fences, all those kind of things, and you moved into go-karts, I think.
Yeah, I moved into karting when I was about 11 years old, and I got my first GP kart. It was a GP kart, and it had an air-cooled motor on it. It was up at Sonoma, and we had a buddy who was a little bit older than me. He went to a different high school, but kind of grew up in the same area, and he sold me his old cars because he was about 3 years older, 4 years older, and so I kind of drove those around, and then I moved into Tag Junior, and I raced the Zanardi, the kart, and kind of like the California area, and did some juice and stuff, but Zanardi before I jumped in to use Technia.
So the karting stuff, what was that like? How did you, is it something that you really loved, or was it just a means to get to cars?
I really loved karting. I think it was probably my dad who didn't love karting so much. I mean, karting is super competitive, as everyone knows, and all the dads going with it, it's like a big dad battle and big kid battle, and everyone is super heated up the car track when you're young. But I loved it. I mean, I just recently bought a shifter car at Honda, and I'm just back into it again. And, I love just the raw experience of the car, how it feels. Everything is just so quick, and I can't get enough of the karting. So I definitely loved it, but it was really cool jumping into a car where the Specnyatas are actually seem to be more cost-effective than actually running the car full-time.
I know that for a fact, because when we were first starting in Teen Mazda Challenge, that's where you started with Spec Miata as well, was there's a whole bunch of carters that came in. Elliot Skier was one of them, and his dad was telling me that Spec Miata was way less expensive per weekend than karting was. But I do love your reference to the dad battles. That is hilarious. So I did my best to try to steer clear of that when you're racing against my son in Teen Mazda Challenge. But there are some definitely crazy dad battles going on out there. And it's a crack up. I mean, that's what happens when people start racing when they're young, right? I mean, there's no way to avoid it, unfortunately. But it's like the Little League dad syndrome at the racetrack.
Yeah, exactly. If you know my dad, you know my dad really well. He doesn't want to be part of that at all. He loves everybody, and he's always just with everybody. Until he hit me, then, you know, he did get a little tap out, but it's always awesome and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's why you and your dad and I, Dan, get along so well. It's because we're both pretty relaxed and don't like the whole dad syndrome. We want to let the kids kind of figure it out. But it's pretty funny to watch, that's for sure. So you went to Teen Mazda Challenge and Spec Miata, and you ran that for a couple years. You ended up winning the championship, I think, maybe in 2015 or something like that.
Yeah, I went to Spec Miata. I learned how to drive stick and a car in the parking lot before they tossed down on track and bust one up. And none of the instructors would actually ride with me. And so they saw me and they're like, you don't know how to drive stick. And I took an instructor out, and the very first instructor I had, I went out and I went through the fences and I spun out. At the very end of Button Little S's, and then he got out of the car. He's like, I'm not getting back in the car with you again. And he was all freaked out. And I found this awesome instructor in Marty, and he jumped in the car with me, and he was my instructor for the rest of the weekend.
That's hilarious. So you succeeded in scaring the heck out of your instructor, which is always good.
Yeah, exactly. And I jumped, then after that, I did Team Mazda Challenge after learning how to drive the car and everything like that. That was an awesome season. It was super competitive. Yeah, I made some friends. Yeah, I made friends with you guys, and I loved the whole battle. And you know, I think that was a big year for Team Mazda Challenge. It was great. I was able to be really finished off at Sonoma. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there was a ton of really good drivers in that whole group from like 2013 to probably 2017. I mean, I've kind of fell out of it because my kids aged out, but there are some really good drivers like Elliot Skier, you know, Charlie Hayes, who runs Capex Lizards program with the Bentleys. He doesn't drive, but he's the team manager or whatever he does there. And he was a driver and a very good one. He's won the 25 Hours of Thunder Hill and that kind of stuff. And you know, Will Rogers, who you battled with the year after we left, who has done great things in NASCAR and those kind of stuff. And, you know, there's some really good group of young drivers from that era. So I think it was a good learning experience for you as well. You moved on from there into the touring car class in World Challenge, which is now TC America, with your M235i. And what was that experience like?
So I remember the season before we got the M235i, we ran a little bit of MX5 Cup, and then we did TCA.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, at Utah Motorsports Campus with Jason Hoover, and it was a great MX5. It was the NC and TCA, and I remember battling with Eric Powell, actually, one of the people I was battling with there, and you know, that's kind of where I broke into World Challenge, now TC America. That was awesome. Then I raced that Laguna Seca, and then we decided that we're going to get the MC35i car, because it was like such a great platform that year with classic BMWs. We ran it while we were walking them. And so we kind of made the decision to get the MC35i to run it with DFB Performance the following year.
Yeah, I actually I forgot about that whole MX5 Cup TCA year, so that slipped my mind. So, yeah, that's good entryway to the series, and yeah, you could see what was going on in all the classes and kind of make a decision on where you wanted to go. I think you picked a good platform because that is a good platform, and I remember, you know, I talked to your dad quite a bit, and watching you progress, and you know, you should talk about TFB, let everyone know who that is, because they've been a strong force in your development as a driver and development probably as a person. So you should give a shout out to who the heck TFB is.
Yeah, TFB Performance, they're out of Sonoma, and they tuned my Spec Miatas when I was a young kid, and I was, you know, hitting stuff all the time. I mean, they were always there to, you know, when you're young and you kind of just make mistakes, you know, Tim Barber, he was always coaching me. He was always helping me through from Spec Miata. Then he moved me to the MX5 Cup. He ran the MX5 Cup. I ran it with Mark Drennan. And me and I can't remember the third guy, but yeah, Tim ran that, and then Tim after that, we ran an M235i with them. They can run any car, and they can make it fast, and they're such a great team, and I love working with them. I still work with Tim to this day. I mean, Tim helps us produce every part, and he even helps me with my street cars, things like that.
Yeah,
he coaches me, so.
Yeah, to remember, I always say just Tim Effin Barber. So TFB Performance is Tim Barber's entity. He's got a bunch of good guys that work there. And, yeah, you know, he can drive everything as well as prepare everything. You know, he's a sprint car guy. I met him when he was super young running sprint cars with Ron Cortez, the old Ford Focus midgets back in the day. So I've known him a long time as well and really respect what he's done, and I've had to battle against him quite a bit with spec Miatas and other vehicles as well, but I really respect that group and what they're able to accomplish. So I wanted to make sure you were able to give them a quick shout out. So
yeah, me too. You're awesome.
Yeah, I think you got your first win in Touring Car America at Mosport, which is one of my favorite tracks. So it's now called Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. So sorry about that. You got a win there in kind of mixed conditions, and I was so excited for you. Why don't you talk about your first win?
Yeah, so we were out there with TSV Performance in the MC35IR. I think it was the third race we had the car. And the Saturday went okay. And then Sunday we had a race, and it was kind of being mud for Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. It always seemed to be mixed conditions there. And so, you know, we were super nervous, and my dad was super nervous on what tires to run. Everyone, all the top guys were putting on rain. And Tim was like, no, we're running slick. And he's like, just listen to me on the radio. He's like, I'll help you. Like, I'll watch the factory. I'll go to the front of the track. And, you know, we're going to run slick. So he just knew. And, you know, Tim's great. And he makes the call, and he fixes the call every single time. And so we went out there, and we started off on slick. I think we started about 13th place. And then we went out, and it was pretty dry when we first started. And then it just kept getting wetter. And we were getting worried in the middle of the race because, you know, being on the slick, but there was a nice dry line, so that helped out a lot. But so I made it up to, I think, second or third, and there was JT Kupel and Cody and a Porsche, and we were all three of us on slick, and so we were battling it out, and then we ended up having a good battle. And then I won the race, and, you know, lapped a bunch of people, and everyone was so excited. I couldn't believe that we won the race, and it was just a really exciting win for everyone on the team. And yeah, I was super thankful for Tim and everyone. They made a great call, so that was an awesome track. That's still one of my favorite tracks. I love going there every time, the hills and fast speeds and everything like that. But can't wait to go back.
Yeah, I enjoy that place as well. It's funny because I raced there when I was young, and then going back there last year for the first time in like 20 years for me, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this place, that I was really quick here. I must have had a screw loose, because you almost have to have a screw loose to go fast at that place.
Yeah, it's such a fun track.
Yeah,
when you can't see it, it makes it more fun. I'm kidding, but
yeah. So you finished off the year with a 235, and I think you were like fifth in the championship, something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, we finished off the year fifth in the championship, and it's just 35i.
And you made the decision you wanted to go to a TCR car.
Yeah, so we saw the TCR car debut that year, and they detuned it, put it in the touring car class, and so they're going to come out with it next year, and there's going to be a good field, and so we were looking forward to it. And so we're like, Tim, we're going to run the TCR car next year. So we had TFB Performance, we got the TCR car right before the first race at COTA, I believe.
And yeah, I think it was COTA.
Yeah, and so we got the car. I, you know, never could have run the front drive on the track, and you know, and then the first test day, which was just a couple weeks before the car, I loved the car. It was so fast around Thunderhill, and I had such a great time. And we ended up breaking a few parts, which then put us to a rental car at Dakota for the very first race, and so we didn't have our crazy pink livery, and you've seen PSP Performance and us in the NQ35i and Volkswagen. We run a Schmidt.com, right take livery, both years. And so, you know, we missed that for the first race, but we came back the next race and we put together a great car. And the Volkswagen was a great car. It was a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah, and what was the transition like from the BMW to a high horsepower front wheel drive car? So rear wheel drive, I think that what the BMW's got almost the same horsepower, maybe right around 300 and something horsepower. But what was that transition like? You have a lot more aerodynamics on the TCR car. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the TCR car, it's a lot more race car. Even though it was the DSG box, it was definitely a lot more race car. I mean, the place you can notice it the most, track to track, was probably VIR. I just remember going through the S's in the Volkswagen versus the NC35i. The NC35i is kind of like, you know, it's heavy, and you know, you go through and you kind of slide the back around, whereas in the Volkswagen, you just put the downforce, it just plants itself to the ground, and you dip through there. And so the TCR cars are so much fun. I mean, it's probably one of the, it probably is the most fun cars driven around racetracks. It's, you know, when they're on the fork and you're just going at it, I mean, even though it's front-wheel drive, it doesn't really feel like a front-wheel drive car. Besides on the start, when we did stay in start, you turn the front tires off, on doing the rear wheel track burnout. But they're definitely great cars. I love them so much.
Yeah, they look, you know, they are just awesome looking cars. I really enjoy the wild body work and the wild aerodynamics on the cars. And but they also look production as well. So it is a cool class. And the next year you were able to run, you actually, it was that same year, I think you also ran the Honda Civic from Real Time, the Type R Civic. What were your thoughts on the Civic?
Yeah, so the same year I got the opportunity to run with Real Time, their second car, for the Civic in Utah and at Watkins Glen. And Watkins Glen was great. I mean, I think a huge difference between the cars was having the sequential gearbox. I remember going, and the very first time I downshifted the sequential box in a DCR car, I was so used to the DSG, which was kind of like, you know, it's not really a hard hit.
Right.
When I downshifted into the sequential, I wasn't expecting how hard it was going to hit. And so I wasn't full brake either. And so I remember just like slapping my headboard a little bit. And I was like, wow, like this is different. Like it's a whole new ball game. And the cars feel completely different.
Right.
And the Honda was a great car. And Watkins Glen was a great race. And I think we finished a double podium with them with the Real Time at Watkins Glen. And then I got the opportunity to run the I-30N PCR car at the 8 hours of
The Cal 8-Hour, which is part of the Intercontinental GT Challenge that runs at Laguna Seca, WeatherTech Laguna Seca, whatever it's called now. I think it's WeatherTech still. Yeah, so you got to run the Hyundai there. So you had some interesting experience in all three cars. And I know this year you've been running with Brian Herta in the IMSA series, and you've been running with TFB and Copeland in the TC America series and the Hyundai. But I think all the cars are pretty equally matched. I mean, it really depends on what track you go to as to which car is going to be the fastest. You really don't know till you get there, kind of thing. So I think they've done a pretty good job of matching up the cars.
I think so too. Yeah, I think they did a great job on BOP this year with the cars, and you know, especially when you look at them go down the straightaway together, you look at them and they're like, they're really even. So it makes it the class so much more fun. So you're battling a guy who has the whole party.
So this year you've transitioned into some endurance racing with IMSA. What's that like, sharing a car with another guy who ran an SRO series, Harry Gottsacker?
Yeah, but it's a completely different thing. I've never done endurance racing besides the 25-hour. And that was kind of, it was an E46, so it wasn't as intense, the you know, driver changes and everything like that. And I remember meeting Harry, and we met for a quick second, and then at PRI, but then again we met at Daytona. And so it's really, we learn each other, and we kind of learn each other how to get in and out of the car. We learn each other's driving habits, of the car to where we both liked it. things like that. That's kind of one of the big differences when you share a car. It's also really hard because when you're not in the car, you feel like you're still driving the car. And, you know, you want to be there and you're watching so intently. And, you know, you watch for every little thing going on. And, you know, it's really intense. But the endurance racing, it's great. And Brian Herrera Autosport's been great. And such a great team and such a great car. And the new Veloster and TCR car that's running in TC America as well. I mean, the car is awesome. And I really enjoy driving it. I think definitely really, really strong.
Yeah, we're glad that you've come back to Touring Car America as well. You ran the first weekend of the year with TFB, and one thing I'd like to point out is Tim didn't bring a semi, didn't bring a bunch of stuff. There's a couple guys, and you and your dad and your family. It wasn't a huge team, and you went out and pretty much dominated the weekend. So it looks like the Hyundai stuff is well set up and easy to sort. And I like that. I like the fact that guys, and, you know, like at Sonoma, Gonzalez, Victor Gonzalez, who is a small team as well, was able to win a race. So it's cool to see that and to see a small team doing it. Now you're now with Copeland Motorsports in Touring Car America, and they ran the Veloster N for the first time at Sonoma, and you got one win there. I think you had a little problem where you touched a TCA car entering that chicane and it kind of screwed up your splitter. At least that's what I saw from the PA booth. I don't know if that's really what happened, but maybe you can talk about that a little bit, what happened in that first race at Sonoma.
Yeah, the first race at Sonoma, you know, the Tom Motorsports did a great job and they put together a great car and we were leading by about, I think it was like 1.9 seconds, something like that. So it was a good gap, and so I was going into the chicane at Sonoma. I love Sonoma, it's the home track. Going to the chicane at Sonoma, and I thought I was, the TCA car saw me, but and I talked to him after, and you know, he just seemed to just kind of, it was just one of those things, two cars, one place at the same time. And we made a little contact. It wasn't hard, but it was just enough to where it knocked the splitter down on the front of my car, and it just kind of knocked the fill out on that side too. And so the they're so front end aero, they rely on it, those TCR cars. And so after that happened, it was kind of the car was falling off, and it was so hot that day, and there was no brakes, no tires, no caution. And so it just kind of just compounded on each other and ended up got tapped in the back into 11. And you know, it was a very interesting race. And so I think it wasn't the result we were looking for, but then Sunday we came back and we were just went into it and doing it with a good attitude and, you know, just a really great car that fixed it. Tim, he carbon resined it. He's never worked with, he doesn't work with carbon, right? That's not his job, but he put together some resin and he fixed the splitter because we didn't have a spare, and we were ready for Sunday, so.
Yeah, and you And you, after the first few laps, you pretty much dominated Sunday, so that was great to see you rebound and do so well. Also, the thing that just blows my mind is, what kind of contingency money did you win there at Sonoma with that win on Sunday?
So Hyundai, for their contingency program, if you win a race, you get $7,500 in the Veloster and TCR cars per race. And second place is $5,000. And so I won $7,500 last weekend with upgrade for tires for the running the next weekend, right?
Yeah, and, you know, $7,500 is nothing to sneeze at, that's for sure. So
yeah,
I was pretty excited for you there, and I wanted you to be able to tell people about the Hyundai contingency program, and I know they also have a contingency program for Touring Car, and I think they're going to have one for TCA soon. So Jeff Rica won in Touring Car in his Hyundai Genesis, so Hyundai's got some strong programs out there to help their racers, and I just wanted to talk about that. Also want to talk about, you've had the opportunity to kind of participate with the manufacturer, doing promotions, doing ride and drives and those kind of things. Talk about that a little bit. What I've liked is I've been able to see you really grow and kind of be out there and, you know, talking and sharing your experiences with people. So talk about your connection with Hyundai and how that's going.
So over on the inside things, we work with Brian Herrera Autosport, Hyundai, and they work really closely together. And so I've been so grateful for the opportunity to work with the manufacturers closely. I've come to the proving grounds, and I got to work with a bunch of people who are influencers, who are into cars. And, you know, there's one kid there who has just learned how to drive stick in the Veloster N, and so we were there able to help them do that. And I was there with Michael Lewis, who ran PC America last year, and he's in the other car in the Instant Series, and it was great. And it's been really cool because I've always been a shy person. I've really tried to avoid interviews as much as I can, and I always avoided, you know, being in front of the camera, and even my dad's phone camera, I always try to avoid it. And so this year it's been really cool to be pushed outside of my comfort zone. And as it becomes more and more, and I'm getting more comfortable with being, you know, going and talking to people and being out there and talking to everyone I possibly can in the paddock, and working with Motor Trend. We worked with Motor Trend to build a video. We're doing a series this year. And it's been really, really cool, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity I've had. And I'm a Veloster N that I get to drive around, and I get to promote, and I get to tell people about. And it's been an awesome experience.
Yeah, and it's been fun for me to watch you grow in that regard, too, because I know you didn't like it. I know you didn't like being out there, but you've been doing a good job. You're nice enough to jump on the chance to talk to me, and maybe that's a little bit of not a stretch because we've known each other now for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, but it's still great to see you grow in that regard. And
thank you.
Yeah, and you're going to continue to grow. The more you do it, the better you'll be. And, you know, the Herta Group and Tim are at TFB and Copeland Motorsports are all great people. So you've been able to, you know, your family's great people. So you found some race teams that are great people too. So it's super exciting to see. What do you hope your future holds?
I really want to race anything I can possibly drive, but I hope my future holds a lot to do with the endurance side of things, the sprint side of things. And I want to try driving some circle track stuff and NASCAR stuff. And I want to try driving some open wheel stuff as well. Maybe Formula 3, things like that. But I really enjoy DC America, and I really enjoy that type of thing. So I want to continue racing there. I also want to continue racing and kind of put my hands on any steering wheel I can. And hopefully make it to Le Mans one day. You know, other people, they dream of that. And I think it's one of my dreams as well. So really working hard to try to get there.
So you're basically the typical racing driver slut. You'll drive anything you can whenever you can, and I totally get that. I do. I like that you're a little bit of a Renaissance guy and want to drive a bunch of different stuff too. I think that'll really help you down the road as well. You know, formula cars with some of the aerodynamics will help you in the future. And I think that's a good way to look at you. Drive anything you can. Don't be afraid of anything. Get in the dirt too if you can. You know, Tim
yeah,
can probably help you with some dirt driving and sprint cars. I wouldn't be afraid of that also. So, Mason, I'm proud of you. I'm really excited about your future and where you've come from. Really appreciate your time today. And good luck at Watkins Glen this weekend. We will see you up at Portland, I hope.
Yeah, I'll be up there at Portland, so I can't wait for that. I can't wait to jump back over to Sprint Car America. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Great. We'll see you up there in a few weeks, and good luck this weekend. Thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, hopefully be on later this year or something like that. But yeah, see you guys soon at Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Mason. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.